Get ready to enter the Thrive Time Show.
It's a Thrive Time Show on the radio. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. It's all about you.
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 Yeah.
Say we bring the boom.
Thrive Nation, welcome back to the conversation. You know what we're doing right there, Chubb? You know what we're doing with our new intro?
I'm dancing is what I'm doing right now.
Do you know what we're doing with the new intro? Do you understand what's happening on a deep psychological level?
No.
It's audio branding. Audio branding. So for years,
jingle stuck in their head.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times, like, I'll be going. This will usually happen. I'm in the shower, and in the shower, I'm you know, getting ready for my day. And there could be, I'll listen to T.D. Jakes mm-hmm. while I'm taking a shower. And no joke. And this is a serious example.
Does TD know
of
that
audio
you listen
branding.
To him in the shower?
I don't know. Okay. I listen to him, just every morning when I get ready for work. But sometimes when I'm traveling, I can't listen to TD Jakes because I'm taking a shower at somebody else's place or whatever. You know what I mean? So I can't wake him up. So I get up like
just
at 4 a.m. or something.
Blasting some TD Jakes.
But in the man cave, I crank it up. I mean, it is loud. I mean, it is loud every morning. It's probably much louder than most people be comfortable listening to anything, let alone T.D. Jakes. But I have to get myself going, you know. So, true story. So, I was in San Diego, and I was staying at somebody's house, and I got up like at 4, and I hate getting up, waking up when I cannot listen to loud things immediately. Because when you wake up at 4, let me tell you something. The amount of work you can get done between like 4 a.m. and noon is profound if you're uninterrupted, or between 3 a.m. and 9 a.m. It's unbelievable how much work you can get done.
Right.
But when you're like tired and you're kind of groggy and you're kind of just unable to get the cobwebs out of your head, it sucks.
Right.
So you're sitting there trying to work on something quietly, you know, from your home office. That sucks. Let me tell you, that is the worst thing ever, trying to get up early and then trying to be like all quiet, like walking on eggshells, trying not to wake up your wife. I mean, that right there, that drives me to the verge of suicide. So I can't handle that. So I had to build my own man cave here. So anyway, I'm in San Diego. I get up like at 3, and I'm thinking, gosh, I just cannot work under these conditions. This happened to me in Vegas too, you know. So what I'll do is I'll just get in the rental car, and I drove right down to the beach at La Jolla. And nobody's there, turns out, like at 3 or 4 a.m. And so I go down there, and I get myself a coffee from one of these gas stations, and I'm trying to get myself going. And a lot of times I'll sing while I'm driving, and I am not exaggerating. This has happened to me twice. I'll be driving. And you could, Steve, it's possible. You have the freedom to sing any song you want in our country.
Yeah. And you're in your own car.
Right. You could sing whatever. And this has happened to me. I'm driving, and I'm going, Robertson Tires. Hey, I get rolling with Robertson Tires. Holy crap. Get rolling with Robertson. Big shout out to Ted Robertson. And I'm going, why am I doing this?
Is there something with like
O'Reilly's auto parts? No, that's the kind of stuff where
it's
I'm
right
like,
there.
Or I'll be driving and I'll go, ba da ba ba ba. I'm loving it. Wait, my wife won't let me go there. I mean, these are things I'm not kidding. The audio jingles, do they not get stuck in your head?
They get stuck in your head.
Can you guys think of an audio jingle that that's been stuck in your head? Maybe your favorite audio jingle that's stuck in your head. Do you have one that's really?
Oh man.
You don't have one?
Mine was O'Reilly, Steve. You haven't brought anything to the table yet, so.
Yeah, well, that was mine. Mine is actually Robertson Tire and O'Reilly.
It's how convenient.
Because people will say, like, they'll be like, oh, and I'll be like, oh, O'Reilly.
I want to tell you the one that stuck in my head the most, though, and I'm ashamed about it, but it's one of these things where, you know how, like, if you do something shady as a high school kid, you feel bad and you feel like your mother's going to know? You know what I mean? Like you, as an example, your buddies, they said, Hey, Steve, let's get together this Friday and let's watch a movie and let's go to Blockbuster. Let's rent a movie. They're becoming progressively more Bostonian, your friends,
right,
by the way.
Right.
So why don't we meet up there and we'll go watch a movie. We'll go to Blockbuster and we'll get a movie. We'll get some Twizzlers, if you know what I mean. You know, and so just ask your mom. Just say you're staying over at Trevor's. You got it?
T-Revs.
So you talk to your mom.
Right.
And you tell your mom you're going to go over to Trevor's. And your mom's like, is Trevor a Christian young man? And you say what?
Absolutely.
Yes.
But you know, like, secretly.
We prayed about doing this.
Steve, here's the deal. When we go out for Blockbuster, the only thing that won't be there is a rental movie. And the only thing that will be there is beer.
And chicks.
And chicks. So
like chickens?
No, I'm talking about like, the ladies.
Ladies.
So no, but have you ever had that moment?
Yeah.
And then you as a high school kid. No, stop.
I'm just kidding.
So it's like as a high school kid, and then did you feel guilty for like a day? Because your mom says, "How was Trevor's?" Your sweet mother.
No, that's like one of my great like secrets is I don't feel guilty about anything.
Really?
It's not a secret.
I'm just kidding.
Chubb, have you ever had that happen to you?
Yeah, of course.
Okay,
of course.
So one of my deep, dark secrets that I want to share with the Thrive Nation, because I know that
now, this
Thrive
isn't
Nation,
the thing you told me last week.
I think this might be the thing.
Oh, my God.
And the Thrive Nation, it's the
oh
thing.
Oh, my
is,
gosh.
You're going to share this on the radio?
I want them to, I know the Thrive Nation will keep it secret between me and them. And the people in the car with
it's
them.
It's a bonding thing.
And the people on the podcast or the Facebook.
I'm only going to tell everyone that's at my house.
So here is the audio jingle that is stuck in my head so much. This is the number one that is stuck in my head. From the movie Silver, from the TV show Silver Spoons. Silver Spoons, Chubb. Here it is.
Here it is.
Here we are. And it's a kind of a, it's a song where if you sing it, you have to turn in your man card. Here we are, face to face, a couple of silver spoons. Go on, Steve. Hoping to find we're two of a kind, making a go, making it grow. Together, everybody, we're going to find our way. Oh, my gosh, this guy's lost it. Together, taking the time each day to learn all about those things you just can't buy. Two silver spoons together.
See, the unfortunate thing, if you listen
you
to
and then I get that
past episodes, is we've never seen this show before, so I can't
but
tell.
Ricky Schroeder, man.
Come on, man.
And Ricky Schroeder's one of the best actors. I'll tell you what, Ricky Schroeder as an actor, I want to make sure you get this because this is so big before we get back into Think and Grow Rich. This is so big for the listeners to understand this. Ricky Schroeder, his acting was 706 times better than any of the acting displayed in the newest Star Wars. That movie's terrible. That movie's awful. I love Star Wars, and I typically am an absolute apologist for the movie, but that movie was awful. I took a nap that afternoon so that I could be ready to go.
You forget.
So I wouldn't
oh,
be tired.
Before. I got you.
So I wouldn't be tired when I went to see it. I was fully rested. I sit down there to see a 7:30 showing. At about 8:10, I'm going,
pissed.
This is probably the worst movie in American history. And I asked myself, I said, does anybody have the movie Animal? The movie Animal starring Rob Schneider? Because I want to see a movie with real acting. Does anyone have that one? I want to at least upgrade. Does anybody have that? Does anybody have any of the scenes from Adam Sandler you can queue up on your phone that I could watch instead of this so that I can at least see acting better than this? I said, does anybody have a rake? Because I want to scratch my back until it bleeds as opposed to watching this. Hey, does anybody have any wood glue? Because I want to seal my nostrils shut because that would be more fun than watching this.
Is that why your back's all bloody?
Hey,
that's weird.
And your nose is all messed up.
Seriously, if someone could just get a running start and punch me in the crotch, I would rather experience that than to watch this movie. Because if I could just give myself a swirly in the toilet, I would feel better than I feel right now. Could somebody put shards of glass in the popcorn? Because I would love to know that maybe I would die before the movie's over than to have gone through this horrible movie. Hey, Luke Skywalker, can you make a 3D movie where you actually have a lightsaber that actually comes out in the fourth dimension and kills me? Because I would rather... hey, show me the Force. Is there any way I could use the Force to make you shut up?
Oh!
I thought about, hey, could Yoda, there is no do, there's no try, there is just do. Why don't you definitely shut up for the rest of this movie? Because what you guys are...
He has a scroll of these. How long did you work on this list, Clay?
It's the stuff I think about. I've never been to Siberia, but maybe there's still time to book a ticket
to
holidays.
Can I bring this back to the jingle story we were talking about?
Yes, please.
One of mine that I just realized was, do you guys remember this? Priscilla's, where fun... and fantasy meet.
No, I wasn't allowed to listen
okay,
to
that. That was on the radio.
So inappropriate.
That was on the radio. No, here's what's inappropriate.
What's inappropriate is you know it.
Forever, I thought it was Priscilla's Boo. Where fun and family meet. And I could not figure out. I was like, Mom, what is up with that?
Fun awesome. And family meet?
You know that place changed names.
I don't know, Steve. What is it now?
It's called Patricia's now.
Get out of here.
They went from Priscilla's to Patricia's.
Where fun and family meet.
Same jingle.
I want you guys to know I avoid entire parts of town knowing that they're near. That's what happens. Mm. Because even looking over at the store,
you feel bad.
You have to go to church immediately and apologize.
The problem is there's a Schlotsky's right next door to it, and I freaking love Schlotsky's.
Why do you know so much about this store?
No. Chup's like, no, I was at Schlotsky's. Sure you were, buddy.
Yeah,
I was. Sure you were.
All right. So now we're on page 18 of Think and Grow Rich, and we're talking about Think and Grow Rich because we're on page 18 of the book. Here we go. I'm so flustered. I can't get it together. Let me try.
Woo.
So I'm reading the book here. It says, Barnes did not get his partnership with Edison on his first interview. He did get a chance to work in the Edison offices at a nominal wage, doing work that was unimportant to Edison, but most important to Barnes because it gave him an opportunity to display his merchandise where his intended partner could see it. Months went by. Apparently nothing happened to bring the coveted goal which Barnes had set up in his mind as his definite major purpose. But something important was happening in Barnes's mind. He was constantly intensifying his desire to become the business associate of Edison. Psychologists have correctly said that when one is truly ready for a thing, it puts in its appearance. Okay, so let's break that down. So Barnes can't get a partnership with Edison because he doesn't know the guy. Two, he doesn't have the money to even get there. But he gets on a train and rides. He sneaks on the train and he gets to New Jersey. He gets a chance to meet Edison. But Edison's like, hey, I don't know who you are, but if you want to work here doing some underling job, you could start here at the bottom. But if you start at the bottom, you know, you'll be able to display your talents, and then over time we'll notice you.
Yep.
So he did that for months, working at the job that was at the bottom. And when I think about that story, I think about a Devin Woolery who works with us with the Thrive team.
The Woolly Mammoth.
And Devin is such a phenomenal coder and a great guy, high character person. But when he wanted to start working for us, he currently had a job at Walmart. This was about 4 years ago. And I remember telling the guy, I don't have a paid position for you today, but if you are willing to just come here and work for free on an internship basis, then if something opens up, then you will be the guy. You
know, really?
Really?
Yeah, then really, you get a chance to do that. And so what happens is that Devin wasn't deterred by the idea that he had to have another job and wasn't going to be paid at all for this job. And as most people know who own a business, according to the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, as well as CBS News, they report that 75% of employees steal tangible things from the workplace. And of those that aren't doing that, there's over half of the employees that are wasting company time and doing nefarious, weird things all day. I mean, the stats are terrible about employee engagement. I mean, over 70% of people hate their jobs. 75% of people are stealing from the workplace, according to the U.S. Chamber and the CBS News. 70% of people hate their job, according to the Gallup. And the stats are not good about the percentage of people who aren't working at work. And so one by one, they all fall down. They either get fired, they quit, they lose interest. You have to, that's what it is managing employees today. You're just going through a minefield of intentions and people that are constantly changing their emotions. But Devin stayed the course. And I remember pulling him aside and saying, hey, Devin, we'd like to put you on salary now. We'd like to start paying you. And he lit up like a Christmas tree.
Right.
But that dude did that for months.
Yeah.
So the question I'd have for you is, how many of you want something today but are not willing to put in that free effort interning somewhere or learning that skill? And I know our listeners, and I know that none of our listeners are wanting something for nothing. I know that none of our listeners think they can get rich quick. But for other people, this is a big teaching moment. And when we come back, we're breaking down more about the life and times of Barnes and Thomas Edison and the book Think and Grow Rich. If you want to get rich, you need to attend our next in-person Thrive Time Show workshop. If you want to get your free tickets today, they're normally $99 a piece. If you want to get free tickets, all you got to do is find the Thrive Time Show on iTunes, leave us a review, subscribe to the podcast, and leave us a review, and send us proof that you did it to info@thrive15.com, and we'll give you 2 free conference tickets. Stay tuned.
Get ready to enter the Thrive Time Show.
Faces made for radio and not TV. Talking everything from play to Z. Auto washes, bangs, haircuts, and glasses. You want to sell, we've already sold it to the masses. No classes or prerequisites. Just business school as raw as it gets.
It's a Thrive Time Show on the radio. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. It's all about you.
All about you.
All about you.
All about you.
All about you. Then we bring the boom.
Yes, sir. It's Ian Clay, broadcaster from the box in the 918. Business school in the topic today. I check the syllabus, it's getting you paid. I'm making the business boom, is what we do. You can do it, then I'll show you.
Oh, it's the Thrive Time show on your radio. My name is Clay Clark, and today we are breaking down the book Think and Grow Rich. And we turn now to page 19 of the 1945 edition of Think and Grow Rich, a signed copy I'm reading from that was given to me by Jonathan Kelly, signed with a blue pen.
The blue pen.
From Napoleon Hill. So here we read from page 19. It says, Barnes did not get his partnership with Edison on his first interview. He did get a chance to work in the Edison offices at a nominal wage, doing work that was most unimportant to Edison, but most important to Barnes because it gave him an opportunity to display his merchandise where his intended partner could see it. Months went by. Apparently nothing happened to bring the coveted goal, which Barnes had set up in his mind as his definite major purpose. But something important was happening in Barnes' mind. He was constantly intensifying his desire to become the business associate with Thomas Edison. And that's where I want to break down this teaching moment. Because Barnes, the character in the book, it's a true story, he wanted to become a business partner with Thomas Edison. That would be the equivalent of you or I saying today that we want to become a business partner of Jeff Bezos. But you don't know Jeff Bezos, and you don't have any money. You don't have any connection to the guy at all. So what happens is Barnes does the unthinkable, and he says, you know what? I don't have it all figured out yet, but I know that my relationship with him can't start unless I get there. So he can't afford a ticket to get to New Jersey, nor does Barnes know Edison, but he just gets on the train and he takes the train out to New Jersey. He sneaks on the train. He gets right there. He presents himself to Mr. Edison's assistant and says, I'd like to meet Thomas Edison. The assistant says, you know, well, here's the deal. I mean, he's busy. This would be like us going to Amazon, right, showing up in Seattle. Hey, I would like to meet Jeff Bezos, please.
Excuse me, where's Jeff?
And they're like, he's actually taking over the world right now.
Bing bong. Yes, Jeff is.
Do you think he asked for Tommy Eddie?
Old Tommy Eddie.
Do you think he was like, oh, Tommy, I didn't talk to Tommy Eddie?
Kind of the old perceived familiarity move. That's a tactic. But apparently he said, I'm willing to wait as long as it takes. It's okay. It doesn't matter how long it takes.
Yeah, I'm going to live in your lobby. That's a move, by the way.
The lobby liver. Like,
I can't leave until I talk to this guy.
And as it said in the book, he gets a job working at the bottom, basically. But he thought it was a good opportunity because it allowed him to show his work ethic. He wanted to demonstrate through his work why he deserved to be a partner of Edison. And so, because Edison, by the way, was known to have a legendary work ethic. Legendary. He in my mind is the founder of the all-nighter. He was known for just grinding all the time.
Right.
More patents than any inventor in the history of America. He started GE. He invented the light bulb, recorded video, recorded audio. But it says in the book, it says here, and this is the part I want to smash. I want to make sure we get this. He says, he was constantly intensifying his desire to become the business associate of Edison. And this is, I wrote a little note in the book that I wanted to share with you guys because I remember Puff Daddy. I was reading a book about Puff Daddy. It's called Hip Hop in America by Nelson George. So good.
Well, it's hip hop and you don't stop?
Hip Hop America. If you can look that up real quick. I think it's Hip Hop America by Nelson George. You can find the actual title. It's a phenomenal book. And but Puff Daddy's famous for saying can't stop, won't stop.
Oh, yeah.
In his music.
Him.
He says can't stop, won't stop. And his whole thing is that his mentality is that I don't know how I'm going to get there, but I can't stop because I won't stop. I'm just going to keep grinding until I get to my goal. Puff Daddy, first hip-hop billionaire.
Hip-Hop America, by the way. You were right, Nelson
Hip-Hop
George.
Hip-Hop America by Nelson George.
Correct.
Phenomenal book. But this is the teaching moment I want to share with you, is that I, over time, heat up and get more focused on something the longer it takes, and I don't know very many people that have that mentality. Most people, if they're not getting traction within like 6 months, they quit.
Or 6 minutes.
Yeah, they do. And I don't know what it is. I'm not sure how this book has done that for me. But I literally will not. Once I'm convinced that something is right, I won't stop. And so I wrote down some examples that I could share with you guys. One in particular is the Elephant in the Room Men's Grooming Lounge experience. So here's the partnership work, Chip. My brother-in-law, Justin, pitched me on the idea. I said no. He pitched me on the idea again. I said no. He pitched me again. I said, okay, here's the deal. I will fund your business, but I need you to work for me for a year, meaning you get up at the same time I get up. You live at my house. You follow me to and from work, and you do whatever job that I need you to do. And if you complain, it's done.
The deal is off.
True story. And Justin said, I'm in. So he did it. And then he earned my respect. And I said, so here's how it's going to go. any dollar that you put into the business, I'll match it. So if it takes us like 10 years to open because you can't afford it, that's fine. But any dollar that you put in, I'll match it. And he goes, so you mean I have to do wedding photography on the weekend while opening my own business? And I said, yep.
Absolutely. That's a big thing a lot of people miss, I think, right, is that matching the dollar that you put in. If you're out looking for investors and you're not willing to put your own life and your own money on the line, it's probably not, you know, it's going to be a weird thing.
I'm not going to mortgage my house, but, you know, if you want to throw in 200 grand.
So that's what I did. So I paid the lease, and then Justin matched any dollar that I matched any dollar that he put in.
Right.
And he wanted to make a countertop. He wanted to make it himself because he wanted the business to be authentic. And so he felt like that to do that, he needed to actually make the countertop himself. So he actually made a concrete countertop himself.
Nice.
He actually put all the barnwood in himself. He actually put in all of the stonework himself in the downtown 16th and Boston location. Now it's at 17th and Boston.
Right.
Now, let me tell you what. That third location, when we moved to 17th and Boston, he wasn't as passionate about putting in the floor himself, but he did do a lot of the construction. I'll tell you why. Because the business is significantly bigger now. But each week, we would offer our Elephant in the Room experience for $15. The haircut was $15. And I kept hammering home, like, we should do it for a dollar. We should do it for a dollar. We should do it for a dollar. Offer a haircut for a dollar. Maybe we could offer a haircut for a dollar. He's like, Clay, what other business advice do you have? Maybe we should offer it for a dollar.
Anything else?
Do you have any other tips? I was thinking we could offer it for a dollar. I mean, that's all I was doing. It was just because I knew that the experience was very, very good. But unless somebody experienced the haircut,
got to get the golden look.
We could not get the gold. Unless we got the golden look, we're not going to get the deal. And we're not going to get the deal unless they come into the store. And they're not going to come into the store unless we have a no-brainer deal. And so we came up, finally, after about a year and a half.
Justin had this great idea of $1.
He decides, you know what, let's do it. Let's do it. So we went ahead and offered it for a dollar. Now, here's the part that I think blew his mind. But my partner, Jonathan, said, we need to raise the prices from $15 to $37.
Yeah.
What? I thought you guys wanted to do a dollar. I do. The first haircut's a dollar, but the next haircut is $37. And once we figured out the model of getting people in and signing them up for memberships, their month-to-month memberships, we were able to just scale that business. But it took about 2.5 years to get it nailed down. Now on our fifth year, we will be franchising. And so if you have an idea that you're committed to, if you have an idea that you're absolutely sold out to, I encourage you to invest in yourself and to attend our next in-person Thrive Time workshop. And if you want free tickets, just leave us a review today by finding us on iTunes. Find the Thrive Time Show on iTunes. Subscribe and leave us a review and send us proof that you did it to info@thrive15.com. And we'll get you the free tickets. Stay tuned.
Welcome to the Thrive Time Show on Talk Radio 1170.
It's the Thrive Time Show on the radio. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Oh, yeah. It's all about you.
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 Yeah.
Say we bring the boom.
Yes, sir. It's Z and Clay, broadcaster from the Fox and the 918. Business school in the topic today. I check the syllabus, it's getting you paid. I'm making the business boom, it's what we do. You can do it, then I'll show you. I'm a father of five with my 9.
All right, Thrive Nation, welcome back to the conversation. It is the Thrive Time Show on your radio, and we're reading from page 19 of Napoleon Hill's book, Think and Grow Rich, where he's describing the story of how Barnes, a guy by the last name of Barnes, went into partnership with Thomas Edison. See, Barnes, just like you and I, he wanted to be successful someday. But unlike most people, he wanted to be a partner with one of the world's most successful people during his lifetime. He decided that he wanted to partner with what would be equivalent to being a partner of Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos of Amazon.
Or Dr. Z.
More of Dr. Z. And rather than having reached out to him and just said, hey, here's a letter, here's an email, I want to be a partner, he actually thought, you know what, I actually am going to do this. I'm not going to just send an email and see what happens. I'm actually going to get inside a train because I can't afford a ticket, and I'm going to ride that train. I'm going to get off in New Jersey. I'm going to go to his offices, and I'm going to state that I am going to not stop working for you for free until you're willing to pay me. It goes on to say, he did get a chance to work in the Edison offices at a very nominal wage, doing work that was most unimportant to Edison. but most important to Barnes because it gave him an opportunity to display his merchandise where his intended partner could see it. Months went by. Apparently nothing happened to bring the coveted goal which Barnes had set up in his mind as his definite major purpose. But something important was happening in Barnes's mind. He was constantly intensifying his desire to become the business associate. Psychologists have correctly said that when one is truly ready for a thing, it puts in its appearance. Barnes was ready for a business association with Edison. Moreover, he was determined to remain ready until he got that which he was seeking. He did not say to himself, ah, well, what's the use? I guess I'll change my mind and try for a salesman's job. But he did say, I came here to go into business with Edison, and I'll accomplish this, and if it takes the remainder of my life.
That's commitment right there.
He meant it. What a different story men would have to tell if only they would adopt a definite purpose and stand by that purpose until it had time to become an all-consuming obsession. So I want to give you another example. The Start Here book. I read books all the time, Chup. I mean, Chup, we're broadcasting today from the man cave. Could you describe the what you kind of see, the visual accoutrements?
Yeah. Well, everything is wrapped in American flags, first of all. Okay. So I just want to start with that. So I can see three or four right now from where I'm standing.
Yeah.
But on the left wall here to my left, there is what I would call four bookshelves that are 4 and 5 rows high, completely full of books. And I said this on previous shows. You might walk in here and be like, this guy's stacking up all these books. There's no way he's
you It's like a Ty Lopez kind
yeah,
of
it
thing.
Is.
I love more than private jets I'm leasing? I love books.
Books. These right here that I have with me. So, but you can literally, Steve's doing it right now. You can pick up any book on this shelf, and there is going to be notes. Steve, what are you seeing?
This book, Harvard Business Review Interviews with CEOs, has a pen in it. Like, there's still a pen inside
it's
the book.
Ready to write.
Right on page number 160. Where there's lots of
writing. Can you read something that's highlighted from that book real quick, that Harvard book?
Yeah, page 160. It's folded down and it says, design the experience. From the customer's perspective, the quality and value of the product are determined to a great extent by the people delivering the service. We therefore have to design our people and their services and their service attitude, just as we design an aircraft seat, an in-flight entertainment program, or an airport lounge to meet the needs and preferences of our customers.
So you have to help the employee. You have to train the employee how to become an extension of the service.
That's just like we were talking about Elephant in the Room. Like, that's the kind of their purple cow, right? It's the experience.
And that's just one book, and you just randomly grabbed that. So I had this vision, and I told Vanessa, I said, I want to take, because I always refer books to people. People always say, what book should I read? And I wanted to combine them all into one book called the Start Here book. That way I could refer people to one book. And so I literally took all of the books out, hundreds of these books, I mean, probably 500 books, set them out, and I went through the highlighted portions of the book, and I typed them, and I started to sort them by category, and that took me years.
Cherry picking.
I would do this like almost every weekend I had downtime. And then I finally put it all together. Then I basically wrote the book called Start Here, and Start Here is now the world's best business book. If you are looking to start or grow a successful business, the Start Here book is absolutely an incredible book, and you can get the book for free. You can download the book for free simply by going to thrivetimeshow.com. If you go to thrivetimeshow.com, Chip, all the listeners, I don't think all the listeners realize, they can download the book for free.
You can download the book for free. Start Here, and also we have the Boom Book on there, which is our kind of playbook for Start Here. So Start Here has all the juicy details. That's the thickness, 550-page book. And then the Boom Book has like the action steps you can take to actually implement those ideas. It's awesome.
And at our workshop, we give away the Boom Book for all the conference attendees. Could you kind of explain what the conference is like for anybody who's, you know, been to another conference and they think they're all stupid? Because the reason why I started our conferences, by the way, is because I'd been to some really stupid business conferences over the years. Some ones where somebody gets up there and goes, what you got to do to be successful? Is you got to focus on working on your business and not in your business. You're, okay, well, specifically, how do I fix a permalink? I don't know what a permalink is, but that's where you don't want to get down and down there and be a technician.
Right.
You want to hire those people. What you want to do is keep your mind focused on your vision. So our conference, what kind of things do we teach at the conference? How does that conference go down?
Well, one thing I'd like to say that even starts off before we get to the teaching portion is when we start our conference, and it's intentional. We start that thing at like 7 a.m.
Why?
Because we want people that are going to be okay with getting up at 5:30 or 6 and getting to a conference on a Friday, Saturday. If you're going to roll in at 9 o'clock, you're not the kind of person that's going to be successful in business. So first of all, we get up, we start early. The second thing that is super cool about our conference is there's no upsells.
Zero.
The whole goal is to leave you feeling whole.
And not full of holes.
And not
in
full
fact,
of holes.
I think you guys downsell.
I'm in the downsell. I'm really wanting to. I got to convince my wife, but I want to give all of the attendees a Thrive Time Show T-shirt.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a Lambo.
I don't want to do that.
Steve's going to do that. That's his.
I do want to give all of the attendees rides in Steve's Lamborghini.
Yeah,
Lambo
yeah,
rides. We can do that.
And Chubb, you and I would go as far as giving them Steve's Lamborghini as part of like a drawing.
Would, yeah.
Put your name in a hat, yeah. And we'd be happy to give his vehicle.
Once I get my next one.
Then we'll give it. You heard it right here, everybody.
That will not happen.
So there's no upsell. So the whole goal is to, and then the other thing is that it's completely action biased. We want to fill you with action items so that you can actually go home and implement these things immediately. There's going to be action steps you can take. It's not going to be emotional and affirmation. It's going to be actually things that will change and move the needle in your business. And the cool thing that we are doing right now is that if you will actually go to iTunes or Stitcher, look up Thrive Time Show and subscribe or leave us a review. Subscribe and leave us a review, not or. Screenshot the review, Thrive Time Show, email it to info@thrive15.com, and you can actually come out to the February 16th and 17th conference for free. $299 tickets, you
what?
And a friend,
what?
You and a partner, you can come out to the conference for free just by subscribing, leaving a review, screenshot the review, and send that screenshot to info@thrive15.com for your February 16th and 17th workshop tickets for free.
All right, Thrive Nation, if you want to attend the conference for free or you want to learn more about Think and Grow Rich, the book that changed my life, stay tuned, my friends. It is the Thrive Time Show on your radio.
Presenting the world's only business school without the BS, with optometrist and entrepreneur Dr. Robert Zellner and USSBA Entrepreneur of the Year, Clay Clark.
I'm a father of five with maniacal focus to teach the proven moves, no hocus pocus. Cause get rich quick is not a move, but the proven system will make your life improve. See, I'm more than just a rhymer, like a horse with blinders. Focused on the Thrive Time Show, that's where you find us. He be the Z and I be the C, teaching business skills from Clay to Z. We both grew up poor, but we're poor no more. The goal of this show is to help you score. So I couldn't see the mic until my son could see, but I learned to rock the mic in the high school scene. A young DJ with a $1 million dream, numb to the pain that rejection brings. So I, like a sock farmer, sweated for that green. Now I'm on your radio.
All right, Thrive Nation, welcome back to the Thrive Time Show on your radio. Thank you for Mr. Merton, the praise and worship leader from Metropolitan Baptist Church, for singing us that incredible hook there, my friend.
Merton,
you did a great job. Awesome, awesome job. And I cannot wait to get together with you later next week to do song number two. Because eventually, as we are growing the podcast, we would like to have an entire album of original content that we can give to you, the listeners, to help you stay sufficiently motivated during your work day and your work week. Because I know the challenges of being a self-employed person. I get what it feels like to be overwhelmed and to feel like that nobody else gives a crap, because no one else does give a crap.
That's right.
True.
And so this is something I just want to put this into your brain right now, Thrive Nation, because this is a powerful idea once you latch onto it. In the book Think and Grow Rich, on page 19, it reads, Barnes did not say to himself, when he tried to partner with Thomas Edison, and Thomas Edison, first off, he didn't know Thomas Edison, so he bought a ticket and got on a train and went out. No, he didn't buy a ticket, right? Thrive Nation, check it out. He didn't buy a ticket. See, it wasn't that easy for him. He had to get on a train. He couldn't even afford a ticket. He was like a stowaway on the train. And then once he got there, he knew a guy who knew Thomas Edison. No, he didn't. He actually didn't know Thomas Edison, and he couldn't afford a ticket. So he just got blindly on a train, drove out to New Jersey, shows up at Edison Empires, the foundings of the beginnings of GE, General Electric, shows up and announces to the secretary, I'm willing to stay here until I can meet him, and I'm totally willing to work for free until I can get a job here.
And so, the train didn't drop him off at the front door either. So
exactly.
Once he got there,
I mean, these are things that are so profound. They'd be just walking to the place. I mean, I don't know how many people would be willing to do that. So yeah. Then what happens is he finally gets a job working for Edison at the bottom, and he stays encouraged. And the longer it takes, the more inspired he becomes. But this is what Napoleon Hill says on page 19. Barnes did not say to himself, ah, well, what's the use? I guess I'll change my mind and try for a salesman's job. But he did say, I came here to go into business with Thomas Edison, and I'll accomplish it if it takes the remainder of my life. He meant it. What a different story men would have to tell if they only would adopt a definite purpose and stand by that purpose until it had time to become an all-consuming obsession. Maybe young Barnes did not know it at the time, but his bulldog determination and persistence and standing back of a single desire was destined to mow down all opposition and bring him the opportunity he was seeking. So this is where I want to break down this teaching moment, because I don't think a lot of people are we could miss this if we don't dial in here. I had this vision after I had achieved my success that I would build a business coaching program for you, for me. I wanted to build something for me. I saw the need myself, and I thought, gosh, I spent $1,500 alone. I remember writing a check to a guy by the name of Bruce D. Pasquale. Oh. And I'm not pissed off about it. It just happened. I wrote the guy a check for about $3,000 to help me set up my company. Get my LLC done. Yeah. Get all my paperwork done. Bruce paid you about $3,000 to do it. I remember I paid EasyTel thousands of dollars to build my website. And then I paid Creative State all in about $12,000 to make my website. Then I had to make a video for my company. And the video cost me typically between $3,000 and $5,000 every time I got a video. And then I needed to get headshots done for aspects of my business. And every single time I wanted headshots, it was $3,000.
Yeah.
Every single time. And then every time that I wanted to get a graphic design print piece made or like a book cover made, it would take me, you know, typically $3,000 to $4,000. I wanted to like get my book edited professionally. It cost me $20,000 all in to produce my first book.
Jeez.
Make Your Life Epic. So you think about all the costs of these things. I mean, just to get my website mobily compliant, mobile updated, the costs were stacking upon. And then not only did it cost a lot, but it cost a lot of time, because I had to go have a separate meeting with the coder, a separate meeting with the photographer, a separate meeting with the videographer.
All to set up your meetings with them. Like,
yes.
Just meeting after meeting.
And
yes.
they all had deadlines that were drifting. All their deadlines would drift. They're all contractors. I couldn't fire them. It was awful. And so I thought, if I could build a business that could allow people to have access to an entire ninja team. So not only somebody to talk strategy with them, to go over the strategy, but someone to hold them accountable, someone to talk strategy, and someone to actually execute the plan. You know, almost like a general contractor when you're building a home, someone to deal with all of the, you know, deal with the flooring guy, the framing guy, the plumbing. If I could do that for all in what would cost a business owner $8.25 an hour. So for the cost of an employee, of a business owner, and every business owner who's a real business owner is used to the cost of hiring somebody.
Got to.
For less money than it would cost you to hire even one employee for $8.25 an hour, I wanted to give you the world's best business coaching system. There are other business coaching systems out there. I mean, there's the Traction system, and there's eMyth, and they're all dramatically more money. And so I have stayed doggedly focused on this idea since 2008. Do you know that I started coaching clients when DJ Connection, when I won the Entrepreneur of the Year Award in 2007, that's when I first started working with some clients. And every one of the clients who's implemented the system has gone on to dominate.
Right.
And so I'm working with Farmers Insurance. I'm working with Fascianos. I'm working with Maytag University. I'm working with UPS. I'm working with O'Reilly Auto Parts. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a better way. And now it is almost 2018.
Almost.
And this has been 11 years I've stayed focused on the same idea.
Yeah.
11 years.
And now what?
I didn't even know who Farmers was in 2007.
No, but I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
Isn't that State Farm?
Clearly.
Isn't that what's the
clearly?
My job, full disclosure, no. My job with Farmers Insurance was training their new insurance agents. But I want to get the make sure the listeners get this idea. I've stayed focused on the same idea for 11 years. The word focus means focus on core tasks until success. Do you know every single time you hear this radio show, I've done the show prep for the show,
mm-hmm.
I produced the show, and we came in here and recorded. And if you think about that, this is over 16 months we've been doing the show?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? We're getting traction on iTunes. We spiked for just a minute and as number 5 on the iTunes charts.
In the world.
And the longer it takes, the more motivated I become. Right. Chubb, could you explain, because you've witnessed this firsthand, you've noticed that my idiosyncrasies. Why do you think I get more motivated over time as things take longer?
Well, I mean, you're just a driven guy on one hand. Like, you know what you want. You've got, like we keep talking here, your chief aim. You've just laid that out. You know what you're doing and where you're going. But the one thing, like we were saying earlier in the show, is that a lot of people, they just can't do that. They get to 6 months. They get to a year. They get to 18 months, 2 years, and everything hasn't fallen into place how they planned yet, and they drift.
Because and this is how the business coach meeting would happen. The client would typically say, I've been doing this business, this startup, for 6 months, and I haven't made any money yet. And then I would say, I know.
That's what happens.
Because it took Tesla, you know, a decade.
Right.
It took
ESPN 13 years. Well, Microsoft was an overnight success, though.
They
weren't.
Took them almost a decade. Tesla.
But Apple was.
Right.
No. Steve Jobs actually 5 years before he was able to raise any money.
No. But it's like one day they weren't there, and then like the next day.
Jeff Bezos, it actually took him 7 years to be profitable.
What?
It took FedEx over a decade to make a profit. So I will tell the client, hey, listen. You have to stay the course. And they're like, well, that's because the course involves paying you. Okay. I don't care whether you work with me or not. I'm saying for your benefit, you have to stay the course. Yeah, but Elephant in the Room is doing so good, and the optometry clinic for Z is doing so great, and we've been stayed focused on the same idea.
Right.
I mean, that's why I knew our business coach program would work once it got in front of the marketplace, because it's such a no-brainer.
Well, and you've stayed focused for so long, and now you've been able to create a system that you can then scale, and now we're able to help a lot more people than just you were, right? Because there was a limit to your time, how many clients you can actually service at one time.
So if you're listening today and you're ready to take your business to the next level, I would encourage you to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, because the mind is what the mind is fed, and you never want to miss a broadcast or a podcast download. You can get that there. Also, leave us a review on iTunes. Leave us a review on iTunes, and we'll send you free conference tickets to thank you for taking the time to do that. But on a bigger level, I want you to ask the question. I want you to ask yourself this question, so when we rejoin on tomorrow's show, you're ready to go. What is the one thing that I want in 2018? As it relates to my faith, my family, my finances, my fitness, my friendship, and my fun. What are my F6 goals for 2018? What are my goals for my faith, my family, my finances, my fitness, my friendship, and my fun? Write those goals down. Write them down. And then rejoin on tomorrow's show, as we're going to teach you more about how you can go from just wanting to become successful, but to actually becoming successful. Stay tuned for tomorrow's show. It's the Thrive Time Show on your radio. We'll see you tomorrow. Oh, and this just in, as always, 3, 2, 1,
boom!